go ahead and say that in advance, that I hope that your travels are good. I hope you travel safely. I hope that everything goes well for you, and that you get a chance to share time with the Lord, get a chance to grow and be all that you want to be as a family and everything that you touch. This morning, I want to talk about and deal with a subject. If you'll go to the book of Genesis, one of the biggest questions that you deal with on a regular basis, or especially in any area you're fixing to go into, is what do you want? It's one of the most powerful questions you'll ever ask. What is it you want? Before you buy a car, the guy outside is going to look at you and he's going to say, well, tell me some of the things you want. I mean, do you want a truck or you want a car? I mean, what do you want to do with this vehicle? So the first thing that's going to be asked to you is, what do you want? I mean, why did you come to church this morning? What do you want? What is it from church that you hope to get? Why are you sitting here? Why did you get married? When I do premarital counseling, that's one of the big questions we have a lot of fun with. Stella's laughing because when we go through that, I look at the guy and I said, where are you going on your anniversary in 5 years? And they just kind of look at me, huh? I said, you're asking this girl to give up her life to follow you. And you don't even know where you're going to be in 5 years. You're asking her to give up her life and you don't even have a plan.
Well, we're going to just do it.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't buy a car if somebody said, we're just going to buy it and hope it runs. No, you wouldn't do that. You have a plan. You have a idea. You have a, hey, I know what I want. And in life, that's the way it has to be. And it's fun watching them come back the next time. Oh, I talked to her and we decided we're going to go on a cruise in 5 years. Or we decided we're going to Hawaii. I'm like, both of them smiling. You know why? Because once there's a plan, once there's an idea, this is what I want. This is what I want. Life becomes so much easier. It becomes so much easier because you lose all the distractions. So, when it comes to God, it becomes an enormously huge question. Because if I was to ask you, what does God want from you? What does God want from you? What is it that He wants? What would you say?
Well, He wants me to do right. He wants me to do... He wants me to love Him, to worship Him. He wants me to go to church. We come up with all kinds of ideas. But I want to this morning, and next week I'm going to deal with what the devil wants out of your life.
But this morning I want to deal with what God wants from you. Look at the person beside you and say, do you know what God wants from you? Do you know what God wants from you? In Genesis 1 and verse 11, that's where we'll start. And let me say this. I know there's probably some things already out there. Next week we will be setting up this Hope Outdoors trailer outside. For the next two Sundays, I think there's a list that was being made and given out this morning. Hope Outdoors is simply where they take paraplegic people. And we have a place here at Circle C Ranch that brings in almost 100 people, families and paraplegics. A lot of our people here work. Blondie and them cook at it. It is a tremendous ministry. And we want to be a part of that. We always look for places where we can be a part. And so that list that you see is just maybe Cokes. It may be a lot of it's corn. You may have seen some bags of corn sitting outside when you walk in. You're like, what is deer corn doing here? That's what it's for. The paraplegics, they can hunt over corn. They let them do that because they have to roll in and we have to buy special blinds for them. And they can hunt over corn. I mean, the goal is for them to kill one deer. If they could kill one deer in their life, you'd be amazed. Some of these guys are so fanatic that even though they're paraplegic, they wear camo every day of their life. They live for this time. Some of them go to three or four different places throughout, from Georgia all over to different hunts, because this is the biggest time of their year. This is the one time they're not sitting in their house. They get to go hunting, and they get to do that. So there's a list of things. And so if you want to feel good about yourself, this is a group that if you help them or be a part, if you'd like to go out there, I know Sam Warren is one of the major people that heads this up. Well, Kenneth is a big part of helping in that. But if you'd see Sam after service and say, Sam, what can I do? There's a list of stuff that we got. We want to be a big part of this. We want to impact someone's life. This is feet on the ground ministry, and I love it. So, Genesis 1, verse 11. You're there. And let's just jump into this and deal with what it is God wants from our life. What is it He's after? There's a little bit I need to, three parts of this that I need to break out. Three points in this that I need you to understand. The first part is simply this. Is that God made me, number one, from Him. God made me from Him. To answer this question, we've got to go through three stages. You got it? What did I just say? God made me? Okay. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb and yielding seed and the fruit of the tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in it upon the earth, and it was... Okay, let me explain something to you when you're talking about God creating and God making. When God wanted something, when He wanted to create something and make something, He spoke to what it was to come from, not just simply what it is. We have this mindset that God just walked out and said, trees, please. That's not biblical. God didn't do that. When you're talking about what God did, God, in His creative power, created from two aspects. There were some things that He said, listen, let there be. That means that He created those things. There are certain things that He created. And He just spoke them into, there was nothing there. And He simply created it. The light that we see. He said, let there be light. It came from nowhere. It was created. It was a created thing, and that's how it came into existence. That's why science can go back just so far on certain things. They can go just back so far, and then it's like, we don't know. Here's our theory of what happened. But what there is there certain areas of things that simply, they were just created. And then there's some things that were made. There were some things that weren't created, they were made. In other words, the trees weren't created. They were made from the what? From the earth. In fact, God said, let the earth bring forth of its kind. So what God is saying is when I create something, so in our minds we think of created like this. We think of, well, I created this ministry, this church. Let's just use that. All seasons, we created what? No. When I moved here 20 years ago, there was the Forest Church of God. There was already something. And so what I did was start to pastor and help make out of what was already here. Does that make sense? But now I didn't just show up in the middle of nowhere and walk out in Beanville National Forest and just say, let there be a church. That's creating. And in our minds, you've got to understand that we don't create. We don't create bowls or pottery. We take clay and mold it and make it into pottery. But God has the ability to create certain things, and then from those certain things, He says, I want you to produce after your kind. I want you then to make it or create it. But now here's the concept of this. When you get this, here's what you have to understand. God says, I'm going to tell you where it comes from, how it's sustained, and where it has to go back to. I'm telling you where it comes from, how it's sustained, and what it has to go back to. Go with me to the next verse that we need to read. Let's read verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundant the moving creatures that hath life, and the fowls that may fly above the earth to open firmament of heaven. So now even the fish. So let's say there's plants in the world. There's plants. That plant does wonderfully as long as it is what? Watered and in the ground. That's what keeps it alive. When it dies, where does it go back to? the ground. So understand this. When God created it, when He created the environment, He said, now produce out of that environment. Now, you are what it's going to come out of. You are what's going to sustain it. And you are exactly where it will return to. Whether it be birds, whether it be fish in the sea, whether it be plants or flowers or anything of that nature. You say, Pastor, why is this so important? Why are you impressing this on us? Because understand this very. Go to verse 24. We're going to work to it. I want to show it to you. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after His kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth. So when a cow dies, where does it go back to? What do we do with it? We bury it, and it goes back to being dirt. Do you get this? You got to. And beast of the earth after His kind. And it was so. But now go to verse 26 with me. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now here's the deal. When God created every single thing, God said, listen, here's what you need to know. I want to tell you where it comes from and what it is connected to. I want to tell you what sustains it. And I want to tell you what it's got to go back to. This is our problem, because when science says, you know what, we're just another animal. Well, we have a problem. We're not like other animals. We're not created like other animals. We're not designed like other animals. Other animals don't have a burial ceremony and preach them into heaven. Animals don't go through all this. Why? Because they were all created for the earth. And in the earth, they go back to the earth. They're sustained by the earth. They live in the earth. They die. That's why even our own bodies. That's why this body that you have on, what happens to it? It goes back to the earth, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And its body is not who you are. But now God makes it very clear that, listen, when you die, your soul and your spirit, which is not of the earth, it's not created by anything, it isn't sustained by anything, it's not held up by anything but Me. Since I'm the one who made it, it came from Me, it was sustained by Me, and when you die or when it's finished, it returns to... Oh. God says, the first thing I need you to understand is that when God wanted something, He spoke to what it was to come from, what is to sustain it, and where it was to return. Go with me to Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Go with me in your Bible. One more place. John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have, and that you might have it more. Now notice now what we concentrate on in our day and age, we concentrate on the abundance. We want blessings. If you turn on TVs, it's all about, look, God wants to bless you, and God wants to give, and God wants to, and it's all true. But notice the first thing that God came to do was to give you, because here's the thing, if I got a plant that's out of the ground, the other day I had Luke and Brandon, I said, look, I got to get these plants in the ground. I've got to get them. The cold is coming. I've got to get the roots in the ground. Not just setting up on top. I've got to have them buried in the ground. Why? Well, what if the twig decided tomorrow? One of those plants out there said, I'm out of here. I'm through with this. I'm sick and tired of being stuck right here in this dirt. And it just decided, I'm going to pull myself up out of here. Tired of this dirt. What's going to happen? It's going to die. Why? Because it's where it came from. It's what sustains it. And it's what it has to go back to. Okay? Let's take a fish. If a fish says, look, I'm sick of being under this darn water and hooks coming after me all the time. I'm tired of this junk now. I am getting out of here. Just walked up on the land, flopped up there and said, I'm tired of breathing that water. I'm just. What's going to happen? It's going to die. Because when God created it, He created it to be sustained by the water. Well, guess what? When humanity says, we don't want you, God. We want to do our own thing. We're going to pull ourselves out of you, and we're going to live, and we're going to do, and we're going to create, and we're going to be our own. What happens to us? We die. That's what happened to Adam. Notice, you'll hear theologians talk all the time, and I love to have the discussions. They'll say, well, God said that when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they would surely... And Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, and they... That's right. Because even though their bodies were still living, because it's connected to the... Oh. Their spirit and soul at that moment, immediately the moment they ate of the fruit, did what? It died. How do you know that? Because they saw themselves up until that time, they were created by God, sustained by God, and would return to God. That's why Adam, when he was created like this, he said, listen, I don't see nakedness. I don't see death. I don't see decay. I think like God. I'm made in the image of God. I have everything in common with God. I am a God on this earth. I'm not God Almighty, but I am God on this earth. Why? Because God said, when I made you after my image. I made you to look like me, talk like me, walk like me, act like me. I made a replica of me and I put you on the earth and I said, here's your dominion. I ruled everything, but I'm going to give you a garden. I'm going to give you a little place. And in this you have dominion. You've got everything. Everything in you is able to speak to whatever it is. You can name animals. You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, it was an incredible moment until man said, I don't want this anymore. Just like a plant that would say, I'm tired of this dirt. Like a fish that would say, I'm tired of the water. Man looked at God and said, I am tired of this perfect garden. I am tired of you telling me that I have this. And I can't go over there. And I can't do this. And man, in his own decision, decided that I know you said I'll die, but I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to eat the fruit. And the moment he ate it, he died. That's why when Jesus came, He says, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't understand it because they were thinking, I want life. I want a sword. I want my flesh to have life. Jesus says, that's not what I came for. I didn't come for your bodies. I didn't come so you'd have a better hairdo. I didn't come so you'd have a better car. I've come that you might have life. So the question is not whether you're in church this morning. It's whether you have already received a better... Because there's people sitting here this morning who can't smile. Because you're in church, but you have no... Church don't give you, because you didn't come from church, you're not sustained by church, and when you die, you're not getting buried in this church. You are created by God, sustained by God, and when you die, you get to return to.
Just give me them glazy looks. Now, go with me to Genesis 2 and 17. Genesis 2 and 17. But of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely... So, number one, I need you to understand this. I need you to understand that when God wanted to create something, He spoke to what it was to come from. The world will try to tell you you came from monkeys.
They will try to tell you came from pond sludge. They will try to tell you you're just the most advanced animal there is in the world. But your life will never move forward until you first get this understanding that I am not sustained, I was not created, nor do I return to what every other animal in this world is returned to. I was made special, created by God, for God, for the glory of God. I have been given dominion. When you get that understanding, it's the first step into figuring out what God wants from me. Because I understand that I'm attached to Him, whether I want to be or not. If somebody says, I'm an atheist, I've never seen anybody be able to breathe on their own. I've never seen anybody be able to make their heart beat on their own. For somebody with absolutely no power over anything, you sure are in charge. I'll come back tomorrow and see all that hair you made yourself grow. Because if you're God, good luck. Number two. God then, when He made me different, He also made me like Him. And what verse 26 says? Let us make man in our image, our likeness. Now, go with me to the second chapter in verse 22, or verse 20. I want to show you something. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and over every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. Now, we've already said that when God made us, He made us what? In His image, just like Him. We talk like Him. We thought like Him. We no sin, no flaws, no... So when God said, I'm going to make a replica of myself, and you're going to have the same wishes, desires, the same everything that I have. And He said, Adam, I'm going to create you just like me. When He was finished, what was missing? When God created something just like Himself, He said, Adam, I want you to name all the animals. And I don't believe He did this by accident. I don't believe He did it just because He didn't have enough time. I believe He did it just simply because, Adam, I want you to go on a search now, because I, before I created the foundations of this world, before I ever took counsel with the triune God and we decided what we were going to do, we did it for a purpose. We did it not just by accident. We didn't just create the world and say, well, let's just see how it works out. No, before the foundations of the world, they said, listen, this is how it's going to be, this is how it's going to play out, and this is the result that we are looking for. What is it? But when Adam searched all over the world, animals passing by him, he thought to himself, you know what? Man, that orangutan over there, it's got a lot of hair. It'd be warm. I don't know if I really want to sleep a pile of leaves with it, though. Nah. Hey, there's a hippopotamus. Now, that'll keep you warm in the winter. Nah. You think it's funny, but there was not what? Found. That means Adam was what? Looking. I knew you know all this stuff. Y'all so smart. Well, it just amused me. Adam was looking, searching, finding a companion that he could spend life with, that he could do things with, that he could enjoy his creative everything with. He's saying, I have dominion over this earth. I can swim with sharks if I want to. I can do whatever, but it's lonely. I have all of this, but I'm by myself, and I want somebody to be a helpmate, to be part of this. And God says, go to sleep, Adam. And when Adam went to sleep, he woke up. And he looked and he said, whoa, man. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. Hey, I like this one. This beats the orangutan. I like this one. This one looks like me. This one has my characteristics. Now this is a keeper. What's funny is when you talk about the word created, the word created has two different meanings. When God created man, the word is squeezed in the Hebrew. He just... That's what the word means. When He created man, some of us men, we understand what that means. He just squeezes. But when He made a woman, the word create is different. It says He fashioned. I think He did good work. I like it. I'm glad He didn't just squeeze them out. And where did He bring her from? Did He go into the dirt and say, you know what, you're going to come from the dirt and you're going to help Him, and when you die, you go back? No, He took her from God said, when I'm going to create man, I'm going to take him from me. And when I created woman, I took her from, so that we're all connected to, we're all pieces of God. This is important. Because when God created, and when God did this, He did it for the very fact of trying to show you a picture of what He's trying to do. He's trying to show you a picture. Look, He's looking for a helpmate. Adam had a desire like God. Why did God know that Adam would want a helpmate? Because God wanted a helpmate. He created an entire world, not because He wanted to see what flowers look like. He created an entire world for simply to sustain a people that He says, I want company. I want you to be with me. I want you to be in fellowship with me. As Adam was looking, God goes to and fro looking. What's the pictures we have of Jesus? He knocks at the door, and whosoever will open. I will come and sup with you. I will sit with you. I am searching for... The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who lost a coin. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who had a certain amount of treasure, but when he found this, it was like, I'll sell everything I got for this. Do you know that God found you as such a treasure that He looked over heaven and said, what do I have? What in God do I have? And when he looked at himself, he said, I have my own son. And for the fact of being in fellowship, in the fact of being in the family, the fact of having that reconnection that he lost with Adam from the very creation, he said, I am willing to give my own son as ransom to buy you back so that you will be back in fellowship with me. Because what I want more than anything else, have you figured it out yet? What I want more than anything else in the world is I want you and me to be in relationship together. I want you and me. And when he looks at his son and he says, son, I want to give you what we've always wanted. What does he promise him? I'll give you a bride. What's the whole picture of Revelations? It's the picture of Jesus standing there in all of His power and all of His glory, and His bride coming from every corner of the earth, from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. God did it all so that one day we can all enter in to a place to where we could spend eternity together, and there'll be no more sin and no more trees to eat from that can cause us to fall away. But we will have passed every test. We will have chosen Him, because that's the reason we are different. We are the moral agents, different than any other creature. We have to choose whether we want to be in relationship with God. Some people choose, I just want the good stuff. Some people choose, I want to do what I want to and I want God to bless me. But then there's some people that say, you know what, I just want to be in relationship with God. I just want to walk with Him, and I want to be with Him, and I don't know how this thing's going to turn out, but I know this much, I am going to be with Him, connected with Him, in love with Him, devoted to Him. And that's all that God is after from you. He's not after all the stuff that we think. He's not after all the stuff that we try to supply in the substitute for it. We think, well, I'm giving my offering. That, you don't give your offering to gain love for God. You give your offering because you have fallen in love with God. I don't come to church because I want to know Him or love Him more. I spent enough time with God this week. Everything I'm teaching you today is time I spend with God and time I spend just studying and researching. I don't have to gather here to do all of that, but I love it when all of us get together and I get just a few minutes to share with you what Dad shared with me, and I get a chance to tell you, isn't it good to be in that family, that what He wants more than anything else is for Tim, let's spend time together. Man, that put a smile on your face, won't it? Absolutely it will. Because it stops being about you and what you're going to get. Starts being about something bigger. Number three. If I reach a point in my life to where I know that He's made me, and that I understand in my life that not only has He made me, but He has designed me a certain way. The first, third thing is this, is that He also made me to love Him. And He made me for Him. We are the bride. We are the bride. And because we are the bride, out of that worship, it comes. When worship is beautiful, when God says, I look for those to worship me in what? See, we and Brother Joel was talking before this, we come from the old Church of God mindset. We come from the old Pentecost, you know, man, we're gonna worship God. But God says, here's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting someone who can worship me in spirit. That means I've already made you alive. You who were dead, I made you alive. You're not here this morning trying to resuscitate yourself. You're not here to resuscitate yourself. That's the reason a lot of people, you know, they'll ask me, say, well, do y'all do a lot of revivals? Absolutely not. I do not want a group of people that have to be resuscitated every 6 months to keep them in church. How dumb would that be? What kind of theology would that be? I want a group of people who have worshiped Him in spirit and in... They are made alive. They are alive. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to bring in people to bring different ways of seeing things and to bring in some new. But I'm going to tell you, I evangelized. I was a state evangelist years ago. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing you can have is some pastor call you and say, I need you to preach me a revival. And I know what that means. My people are dead. And I need you to come in. And I mean just preach. Now you leave that place and I think, I am so tired. Because what I was doing was, I was like, had the machines and boom. Come on, you can do it. 6 more months. Boom. I think I got it again. Praise God, I'm gone. It's the truth. I did it. It ain't like a dream. I did it. And I thought, God, if I have to do that one day when I pastor, the reason I say you are some of the greatest people I've ever met is because nobody resuscitates you. You go back to your jobs tomorrow. You line up with people. Jennifer was talking and she's up there crying. And I was upstairs and it was all over me. You go into a job where people don't understand, don't believe. And you walk in there with spirit and truth. And you have to confront that and deal with that day after day and week after week. That's what God came to give you. He came to make you alive so that you could live. You don't have to wake up on Sunday, you want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. You're alive in God. Paul said, my very existence, my very breath. Paul had it understood. I don't have anything. He owns it. He's purchased it. I'm alive in Him. I've done the religious thing. But I'd laid all of that down for the knowledge of Christ. Why? Because He has made me alive. I am His bride. I am ready. Our problem is, we think that by giving, we're going to impress. All giving does, just if you want to write this down, all giving does is make God give. All giving does is make God give. This is the way God is. God is a lover and a giver by nature. And He has already promised you can never out... He has decided... That's why when you give offering, that's why even business people who are not church people will give to ministries and give to churches. Do you know why? Because they're not dumb. They know God is a giver. And they know that if I bless this... That's why those guys on TV will stand up and say, if you bless this ministry, God will bless you. Well, that's a no-brainer. They're not lying a bit, because if that person takes something and gives to God, God says, I am obligated to give. Our problem is we think we've touched God instead of God touching us. Let me show you. I got to get into some Wednesday night stuff. You weren't here Wednesday? Oh, you were working. The woman with the issue of blood. Okay. The story says that she came and she knew she couldn't be healed after 12 years. She gets to Jesus and she... Does she touch Him or He touch her? Does she touch Him or He touch her? He touches her or she touches Him? See, here's the thing most people don't get. I'm going to touch Jesus. No, you're not. He can't allow that. It's just out of His nature. He can't allow that. The woman said, I will touch Him. And when she started to touch Him, instantaneously, she jumped back and said, something just got me. This is God's nature. We try to do it from the opposite way. We try to say, well, God, if you'll... God says, touch me. Touch me with your giving. See, I used to love to play that game. I used to love hide and seek. I was one of the fastest kids, and I just love that. And then sitting in the cars, I used to love with my brothers and stuff, and it'd be like, last. You ever play that? You sit beside each other. Who touched the one last? God does that. He loves that game. God says, try it. Well, pow! Okay, I can get this. Try it again. I'm going to be quick this time, God. I'm going to pow! Man, God's too quick. You can't touch Him before He's done already retouched. That's what He does. That's His nature. The woman with the issue of blood didn't touch God. She touched His garment. You had it absolutely right. Good theology. Good. She just touched His garment, but God turned around and touched Because that's His nature. That's why when God says, give or try, touch me. Why? Because it evokes inside of me the automatic response that I have to touch. It's my nature. It's who I am. So if you love me, I'm going to... If you confess me before this world, I will automatically confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. You can't outgive Him. If you'll die here, then I will give you life eternal. You can't outgive God. God has already got it fixed so that whatever you touch, He's already got it bigger set up for you. That's why Paul just smiled and said, to live is Christ. I done played this game too long. To live is Christ, but to die, if you kill me, then that means God's going to touch me. And if He touches me, that means I'm going to gain. It's like a marriage. That's what God is looking for. When I study, one of the things I love is just reading the Bible. Just Bible, Bible, Bible. I keep it on CD in my truck. If you're ever in my truck, it's a big old black looking case there. It's CD. It's just, the Bible is everything. And one of the things you're going to pick up on when you start to read through the Bible is one particular phrase. One particular phrase will stick out to you more than anything else. I want to go through a few of these verses. And I want you to see if you can pick out what God is trying to say in the Bible. Exodus 6 and 7. We're going to go through them fast. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be for you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out of the burden of the burdens of, or under the burdens of the Egyptians. Leviticus 26 and 12. And I will walk among you, and you will, I will be your God, and you shall be my... Go to the next one. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be... And walk in you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt for the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice to do them according to all which I have commanded, so that so shall you be my people, and I will be your... Next verse. Let's keep going. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 30 and 22. But this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts. We like to quote that one, you know, God's going to write it. But here's what it really means. I will be their God, and they shall be my... Next one. Keep them coming. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances to do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their... That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your... Are you kind of getting a theme in the Bible? Neither shall they defile themselves any more with idols, nor with detestable things, nor with any of the transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them so they be my people, and I will be their... My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my... Hosea. And I will sow her unto me and to the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art our God. Zechariah 8 and 8. I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in... Zechariah 13 and 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my... New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, Paul would say it this way, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be there, and they shall be my..." Hebrews 8 and 10, "For this is the covenant that will be that will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them into their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." I love this part. When it's all said and done, when we're all through, if you want to know what God wants, here it is. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." You have any idea what God wants from you? You have any idea what God wants from you? God wants to marry you. God wants you to be His bride. God wants to, He has arranged it and fixed it to where you yourself didn't deserve or could not even come into that relationship with Him. But God in His own might and His own strength said, "I have arranged it. I have fixed it. I have prepared garments that you can't buy. I have created crowns you can't earn. I have done all of this just so that you can come to my marriage supper and you can be married to my son and you can be part of our family and we will spend eternity together. Just you and I. You being my people and me being your God." I don't know why you came this morning. I don't know what it's all about for you. But I know this much. I know why I'm here. Because I was created by Him. Sustained by Him. And we'll return to Him. But the good news is, I'm not doing that in a bad way. Because Jesus has come into my life and the Holy Spirit, now I know I was created by Him. I'm alive in Him. I know that I'm not sustained by food or water or drink or anything in this world. I'm sustained by And I know this. I know that when it's over, whether I breathe my last breath or the horn sounds and I get to go home, I will return to Him. If you're in this place today, that's the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. It's the most important question you could ever answer in your life. Do you know what God wants from you? And have you accepted the invitation? If you're in this place right now, and I want you seated, they can start music, whatever they want to do. But I want you to ask yourself. Maybe you're someone in this room this morning who says, "Pastor, I haven't accepted Him. I haven't accepted. I don't even want to think about it, Pastor." But the problem is that when you leave this world, you have to return to Him. You're not going to the dirt. And either you're going to meet Him right, or you're going to meet Him wrong. And if you're in this place right now, it's the most important question you'll ever answer. What does God want from me? The answer is, He wants me to fall in love with Him. He wants to save me make me his bride. Brother Lot, you don't know all. He's took care of all the arrangements. It's not your works. It's not your value. It's not what you bring to the table. He just so wants to be in relationship with you that before He formed this earth, things to Him, it don't mean anything. Trees that cut down and die, they don't mean anything to Him. But you, an old preacher said it well years ago, if it wasn't but just one soul, if it wasn't but just one soul that would have laid down their life for Jesus, Jesus still would have went to the cross. You're in this place right now. You say, Pastor, I haven't made that decision. And I need to. I need to accept Him. I need to accept His gift. I want to be His bride. I want that. And I want to be sure of that. I want to be alive on the inside. I want to be alive on the inside. That's you right now. And I'm going to ask something just desperate from you. I want you to stand up and I want you to meet me right here. And I want us to decide together. I belong to Him. He is my God and I want to be His people. Say, Pastor, I mean, we all bowed and heads and stood up. I know. I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody who says, you know what? I'm tired of being dead. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I want that. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want that. If that's you in this room right now, I want you to stand. Meet me right here. Let's step through that door. Let's read Revelations and say, you know what? Heaven is mine. This is your moment. It's your opportunity. Your place and time. If I didn't give this invitation, I would do you injustice. I hope that everybody under the sound of my voice already has it. I hope that you do. But it's the message that I have to preach. As long as there's breath in this body, it's the message I have. He loves you. He wants to be in a relationship. He's not a million miles away. He's as near as your next prayer. Father, my prayer is that everyone under the sound of my voice, I know this is the early service. There ain't a whole lot of sinners get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. God, I hope what I said this morning, maybe it just helps settle. Even among the saints, it helps settle what they already knew, but they know in a greater depth. God, I thank You. I praise You. I do not have words to say to thank You for the gift that You've given to me, except thank You. My life is Yours. My life is Yours. That's all I have. And I pray that upon every person in here, when they go to work tomorrow, if they go to school, wherever God You carry them, Lord, let them know who they are, who sustains them, who they belong to. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.